Grade 5, The Study of Botany, Part 1. Botany is taught in fifth grade because the child's incorporation of his or her etheric body opens the child up at this particular age, in this particular way, to feel a kinship with the plant. And this is something I've come to recognize again and again in the four times I've taught this subject. I'm always expecting that the boys won't like it, that after the excitement of the animal world, they're just going to find it kind of cool and dull, cool in the cold sense, not in the groovy sense. Just as I'm always wondering if the boys will find Indian mythology and Greek stories as engaging as the Norse myths, but they come through, or rather their etheric bodies come through. Now, let's look at two aspects of the etheric body that are very important here. And we should realize, I say this in a very blatant way, this is why we teach botany. And I don't say that in a dogmatic way, but rather because with the sciences in particular, most Waldorf teachers are not trained in the sciences. Maybe they reluctantly took some courses in college or might have a kind of, you know, general interest in science. But as soon as you have to teach it and really inform children about something or other, the less you know about a subject, the more inclined you're going to be to either fall back on exactly what Steiner said, like the heart is not a pump in grade 7, and ride that hobby horse off a cliff if you can't explain what you mean, or you're going to fall back on natural science, modern natural science, and the way a textbook today would teach a child, or maybe a hybrid of the two, which is almost worse than either. So let's always ask the why. Why are we teaching botany? Etheric body, physical body. Okay, let's see what we can understand. Is there anything more to understand about the etheric body that might really guide us in our methodology in this class? So I want to point out two things. Number one, the etheric body is the opposite of the physical body. It is, Steiner describes it as a photographic negative, which is also inside out and upside down. Okay, got it. Visualize that one. So we could do it one at a time anyway, that it's the negative of the human being. So where we have substance, the etheric body has space. Where we have space, the etheric body has substance. And you can understand why form drawing, in which the child is not only drawing straight lines and curves in endless variations, but is also very much made aware of the border around the drawing, of the imaginary lines that may be intersecting or seemingly connecting parts of the form drawing, but above all, the space in which he or she does not draw, that's no less important and essential for them to understand. That's where the etheric lies. And Steiner spoke about this very beautifully in describing his design of the first Gertianum. And he said that much more important than the forms were the spaces, were where the form, in a way, met empty air, seemingly empty air. He said that's what the spiritual world can fill up, particularly through the etheric part of that world, that which really intersects with the physical. Let's look at another aspect of it then. Okay, negative space, it's inside out. So those organs that we regard as our inner organs, Steiner tells us, actually become the landscape in which we live and move after death. The outer landscape is our inner organic life. He goes further and says that on the next evolutionary incarnation of the Earth itself, Jupiter, that nature as we know it will have disappeared, but out of our own life, out of what we human beings do invisibly, as it were, our thinking, feeling, and willing, that will be a new landscape. That will be a new world of nature, created in a way out of the negative spaces within us. One third aspect of this, the etheric body is upside down. So that would mean that something that is truly etheric cannot be grasped in the usual way of thinking, but we really have to have what Steiner described as Goethe's possession, Goethe's remarkable faculty of polaric thinking, of being able to look at something and, as it were, see it at that moment, inside out and upside down and in its negative. And in this way, Goethe was imbued with a remarkable feeling for nature. So let's look for a moment at this upside down quality. This is a beautiful image that Steiner has given us, that if we look at the plant, let's look at its most beautiful, obvious, the part that interfaces our senses, the flower of the plant, the stamens, the pistil, the beautiful fragrance, the wonderful folds there. What part of the plant is that? Those are the sexual organs of the plant. That is, as it were, its metabolic side. The stem, that's where we have the rhythmical growth of plants, moving out in various directions so that light is maximized, exposure to air is maximized, but a kind of wonderful rhythmicity of ceaseless growth that goes on in that leaf realm. That Steiner connects with the rhythmic pole of the human being or rhythmic system, the middle part of our nature. And the roots, which go deeply into the earth, which live in a realm of hardness, of minerality, and which never stop their growth. As long as the plant is alive, those roots are active and growing. That, Steiner relates to the thinking pole, to the head organization of the human being. So the plant is a human being upside down. Or we could say a plant is as good as we could get of an image of the human etheric body. It really shows us the nature of our own etheric body in that respect. So that's one thing that we want to bring to the children. Again, to develop it poetically, develop it in a meaningful way, not just kind of drawing it on the board and saying that's the way it is. And this is sort of akin to what we did in zoology when very likely you drew upon that sketch that Steiner gave of a kind of cosmic fetal or embryonic figure of the human being with the head and the limbs and the rhythmic system, and how, in a way, every one of the animal kingdoms is a kind of exaggeration of one or another system of the human being, a specialization of it. So now we start with this other picture, or at least it's a potential way of beginning. Something else that helps us understand the etheric nature of the plant, and that also gives us a handle on how to present it to the children, is the fact that this inside-out, upside-down, opposite in every way approach also leads us then to the idea of metamorphosis. You know, Steiner once described organic growth. It's like taking a glove and pulling it off one's hand until It's completely inside out and facing the fingers. It's upside down as well. And we might say that plant growth also reveals this principle in the physical world in a way that is actually quite hidden within the human being. A good deal of the metamorphosis that goes on within our body goes on underneath the mantle of our skin. But because the etheric nature of the plant makes it our opposite, what goes on within our depths in the plant faces the outer world. And we could think again, this is not something I think would be appropriate for fifth graders, but just for our own thought, how vivid this is, that our sexual organs are facing the earth. They have a downward tendency, and they are basically hidden or kept hidden in one way or another. The plant sexual organs look out into the cosmos. They face the sun, the light. In fact, there are plants that are exceptions to this rule, and most plants whose flowers look down to the earth in the gesture of human sexual organs are poisonous plants. So isn't this interesting, very, very interesting, that what for us is in the realm of gravity, for the plant is in the realm of levity. Our head, which Steiner says rides upon our body, the brain, which floats in spinal fluid, defying gravity, there in the plant, the root is drawn ever more deeply into the gravitational force field. So to understand the plant, we need to understand the principle of metamorphosis. How the forces, particularly of the leaf, metamorphose into the flower. The interrelationship of any part of the plant with all the rest of it. The apparent polarities, which turn out really to be tremendous kinship. So that gives us another wonderful direction in which to approach this subject. So to look at the polarity of the plant as an upside-down human being, and to look at the principle of metamorphosis at work. These can be two guiding principles which will help us, not that we're not going to teach names of plants in Latin, perhaps, or even look a bit schematically at a flower, if that's something that we feel needs to be done for this group of children. But if we keep asking ourselves every day, did I work out of one or both of those principles? This will be a wonderful counterbalance to the tendency to work very schematically and very intellectually with botany. And of course, there'll be other principles that will hold true in 6, 7, and 8 when we get into other natural sciences as well. So we'll go on and look at some of the themes that we can take up in our botanical studies.